Well, good morning. Today, Resurrection Sunday, huh? Woo! I know you guys, you live every day like it's Resurrection Sunday, right? That's how we do it. All right, well, it's a good group. Good to see y'all. All right, you ready for the word? All right, let me just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning as we come together that, like Gary said, we stir each other up. And build each other up. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit's here and he's working with us and he's showing us things, each individual, things they need that we need to know and need to see. And I thank you that as we teach the word this morning, as we put forth the scriptures, that you just, you know, you enlighten us. You know, that they go home, that they get in our hearts and build us up. Thank you, Lord, that we leave here walking tall, at least 10 feet. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We used to always pray that every person come to church would walk out like they feel 10 feet tall, and that for the kids' church that they'd feel at least 6 feet tall. So praise the Lord. I believe that's happening. Well, I want to read to you out of Luke 24 this morning, and you're in for a doubleheader this morning, but we'll both be concise. Pastor Stephen will come up after me, but in Luke 24 is one rendition of what we're celebrating today. And I'll just read it a couple verses here, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that two men stood by them in shining garments." Wow. "And they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth. They said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen.'" Wow, isn't that something? Can you say that with me? Say, "He's risen."
He's risen.
I think we could just lift our hands and thank him for that. Lord, we thank you that you're risen. Woo, we serve a risen Lord. Now, will you bear with me if I read another translation of the same portion of scriptures? Just because it's what kind of hit my heart. You know, I do that with translations. You know, I kind of read the New King James usually is my go-to. Used to be the King James. I moved up, you know, got a new one. But, you know, then I like to read other translations because sometimes they'll say it in a different way. The same verse, it'll say it different and it'll register in your heart, okay? So it's okay to read other versions. Anyway, this one says, "Very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb carrying the spices they'd prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, Jesus' mother. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone, and they stood there stunned and perplexed." Isn't it something when the Lord does something that stuns you and perplexes you? Something I like is these guys had just gone through something very devastating. Jesus had died on the cross, you know? But you know what? They still carried on in life, you know? They still put one foot in front of the other, and they did what they knew to do. And then God did his thing, and they get to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. And they went in to look, but the tomb was empty, and the body of Jesus was gone. And they stood there, I read that, stunned and perplexed, and suddenly two men in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning, appeared above them. I think that's why I like this one. Two men in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning, appeared above them. Where do you get these robes, huh? These were angels. These were angels that appeared. And it says, "Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces, and the men in white said to them, 'Why do you look for the living one in a tomb?'" Isn't that something? He's not here, for he's risen. He's not in a tomb anymore. He's risen. We serve a risen Lord. We have resurrection power, hallelujah, flowing through us. This morning, I'm just going to give you basically three truths. I think I said that last time I preached. Every good sermon has at least three truths. I'm going to give you three truths about the resurrection. Powerful things that are reasons why we're celebrating this morning. You know, we're not just here because, well, it's a good day to put on, you know, fancy duds and get a picture over at the backdrop. And, you know, it's a day to, you know, eat deviled eggs. Isn't that something? We eat deviled eggs on Easter. This is what I can say to you, devil. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, anyway. How does that work? Anyway, I don't care because Jesus is Lord. He's my King. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here's the first truth. Everything Jesus went through in his death, burial, and resurrection was driven by this very great fact that he loves you and me. Did you hear that? Jesus went to the cross. He endured all that he went through, and he did it because he loves you and me. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, there's an amazing scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that something? Do you know what this is saying? This is saying that you, he's talking about me. You are that joy that was set before Jesus. You know, he knew he didn't want to go to the cross. If you read the story in the garden, he was talking to God. He was trying to find, is there any other way we can do this, Father? There's no other way. He had to go through it. He says, not my will, but yours. And he went forward. And when he did that, the driving force was he could see you and I. And he says, I can do it because I see the joy that's before me. In John 3:16 and verse 17, it says, for God so. You know, if you have a Bible you can write in, what I'd do is I'd take that word so and write about five more O's on it because that's how it should be. God so loved the world. Okay, you know, I won't make you say it. All right. He so loved the world. He so loved me. He so loved you that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that something? The price has been paid for every man, every woman that ever lived. All they have to do is believe it and receive it. Isn't that something? It says in verse 17, says this, that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I like to read verse 17 along with verse 16. Because, you know, the devil is mean. You know, he twists up eggs and he twists up truth. Okay? And he comes and he tries to make people think that Jesus came in to point the finger at everybody and condemn everybody and make them feel like dirt when the opposite is the truth. He came to lift you up this morning. Are you hearing me? He came to put a zing in your step. He came to deliver the eggs. Yeah. Set them free. Wow. Do you know what's in my fridge? I peeked. Hey, let me tell you this. Jesus loves every person, okay? He doesn't just love the Christians. He doesn't just love people that seem to have their act together. He doesn't just love you because you've done everything right or seem to have done everything right because really nobody's done everything right. He doesn't just love you on your good day. He loves you on your worst day. Do you hear me this morning? He doesn't love you just because you've achieved some kind of a super goal and you know broken an addiction or something like that. He loves you right through the addiction. You know, I've told this story so many times. I know some of you can tell it better than I can, but I'll tell it anyway. When I was a newbie Christian, you know, I was only been saved a couple months, and I'd been delivered from drugs and other things that had me bound in life. But one thing, I had a hard time quitting. You know, people say, oh, a hard time. It took you a couple months. Well, it was because it was bothering me. You know, I smoked cigarettes. I'd smoked them for years. You know, a couple packs at least a day. I don't know. I didn't count. I just, when I was done, I'd go buy more. That was a tough one to quit, you know, and I did all the things people do. I crushed the cigarettes. Yeah, yeah. And then I go buy a new one. I threw them out my car window, and then I'd drive around the block and find the ditch where I dropped them, and I'd go find them, and there they were. Hey, it was exercise maybe. I don't know. But then I'm just minding my own business, you know, one night in my room, and the Lord spoke to me. And again, I'm a newbie. I'm only saved a couple months. And the Lord spoke to my heart in a way that I knew it was him. And he said this to me. He said, Paul, you know, he knows your name. He called me Paul. He says, Paul, I am not going to love you anymore when you quit than I do right now. And you know what that was to me? That was freedom. When you can receive the love of God right when you're down in the dumps, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling like you're a failure, I'm telling you what, it'll break the chains. It'll break it. It did for me. It didn't give me like, oh, hey, he's going to love me no matter what. I'm going to go, whoo, spark it up, baby. No, that wasn't what happened. I'm telling you what, I think I might have had one more after that, but it was just like, wow, this just doesn't do it anymore. I'm just done. And that was over 40 years ago. That's no testament to me. That's just the love of God in action. So what am I telling you this morning? No matter where you're at today, God's love is 100% for you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to read through 19. It says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is praying here for the church. He says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and you might be filled with all the fullness of God." All right, love, church, people, everybody watching online, what I'm telling you here is the foundation you stand on in life is that very fact that God loves you. Don't stand on the foundation of every good thing you've achieved. You know, oh, now I've done, now, Paul, now you've quit smoking cigarettes 40 some years ago. You can stand. No, you can't stand on that. You stand on this: I'm loved by God. Right now, right here, today. Ah, it's so good. All right, second truth, you ready? Say, well, I won't say that. Anyway, second truth. Stephen. Anyway. All right. Everything Jesus went through from the death, burial to the resurrection. Okay, this is truth too. He did it for you. Can you say, he did it for me? Jesus dying, being raised up. I'll tell you what, it was different than anybody. You know, there were people that died and rose from the dead before Jesus did. Did you know that? Do you know there was people that died and rose from the dead after Jesus ascended into heaven? You know, in fact, you know, I could tell you at least 10 of them this morning, but I'm not gonna. But there was one where the Apostle Paul was preaching. This is in the book of Acts, towards the end. And he was preaching, and it was in a place that apparently it had an upper level. And some guy fell asleep while Paul was preaching. Can you believe it? Fell asleep while he was preaching. And you know what happened? He fell out of the window, and he hit the ground, and he died. And it interrupted the sermon. These kind of things can interrupt the message. And so Paul went over and he prayed for him and he raised him from the dead. Isn't that amazing? And the next week there was a committee formed and they began to serve coffee at church. Jesus' death was like no other death, because he did it for us. Hebrews 4:15, let me read a couple of scriptures to you. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Did you hear that? Jesus was tempted in every point, just as we are. I won't even ask for a show of hands, has anybody ever been tempted to sin? We all have, you know? And he comes at you daily. It's the war we wage, but, you know, there's ways to win. Jesus didn't sin. He never blew it. He never, you know, gave in. Then in Romans 6:23 it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus died. He didn't have any sin of his own. Nothing. He'd never missed it. Never. Can you say never?
Never,
never missed it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You see, everything he did it on our behalf. He did it in our place. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like there was a game going on. We'll call it a football game. And, you know, the mankind was on one side and the devil was on the other side. And we were losing in a bad way. We couldn't score no matter what we did. And there was a whistle blown. And they go to the sidelines. And the coach says, we're putting someone in, you know, to assist you guys. And so Jesus comes into the game. And what he does is he puts on my jersey and your jersey. And he looks like us. And he goes in there and single-handedly whoops the devil team. And then because, you know, he had our uniform on, everything he did was put to our credit. We got the Super Bowl rings. I got a wedding ring. But anyway, it's the Super Bowl ring we wear because Jesus won it for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, talking about Jesus on the cross, okay? Let me explain who some of these people are in this verse. It says he made him to be, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So he is God the Father made. Jesus is the second him in here, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So Jesus took our sin on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin, rose up from the dead, and the reward is given to us. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is a word, you know, I didn't use it before I was a Christian. The only righteous I knew was there was a singing group called the Righteous Brothers, and I didn't understand any of it. But righteousness means it's the ability to go before God without any sense of guilt or shame, okay? How's that? You know, you can walk right into the throne room of God. You don't have to cower. You don't have to, like, hide yourself. You can walk in boldly, the Bible tells us, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did for us, okay? This belongs to every believer. Do you understand? This isn't something you're going to get when you get to heaven. This is something you get as soon as you pray and ask Jesus into your heart and receive the free gift of salvation. You're 100% righteous when you get born again. You're not going to get any more righteous when you get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? Someone say, oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Nothing being held against you. Again, he did it for us. Galatians 2:20. I'd like to say that Paul had something he went through life with, and it was I'd call it, he was cross-eyed. Did you know that? Did you know that Paul was cross-eyed through his life? It's truth. It is true. Galatians 2:20 will explain it. He said this, Paul looked at the cross and he said, I have been crucified with Christ. All right, Amber got it. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul looked at what Jesus did, and he had the revelation, and he said, wow, he did it for me. It was as if I was there and went through it myself. Jesus did it on my behalf. So the first thing I said is everything Jesus did, he did it because he loved you. And everything, number two, everything he did it in your place. Let me read another translation of this same verse, Galatians 2:20. This is the NOLI translation. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Now it's not my old self, but Christ himself who lives in me. That's so good. I love that. It's not my old self. It's Christ himself living in me. Yeah. All right, here it is. Now you can say number three.
Number three.
Here it is. Jesus' victory in the death, burial, and resurrection was 100% complete victory over the devil. 100% victory. You know, that just abolishes fear. When I understand that what Jesus did was 100% enough to deal with all the power of the devil, I'm telling you what, that makes me rise up inside. Makes me say, yeah, that's what Paul did. He said, wow, I'm more than a conqueror. You know that he said that? The Apostle Paul said that? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think he got a revelation that Jesus did it for him, and it was 100% victory over the devil. All right, Colossians 2:15 says this, again, talking about Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. It said he disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Isn't that amazing? So you talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Know this, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He disarmed the devil, okay? The wand translation. He said, he stripped away like a cast-off garment every demonic rule and authority and made a public exhibition of them. You know, it's just like in the old days when one group would win a war over the other, they'd parade the spoils in front of everybody. Jesus took on this kind of thing. He whooped, can I say that? Is that a good word? He whooped the devil, and then he made a parade, a victory parade to say, listen, he doesn't have power over you anymore. He's defeated. He's defeated. The power of our old man has been crushed through the power of the resurrection. You're free to live a new life. My goodness, if we ever just get a hold of that, it'll change us. John had an experience. Most of us know he wrote the book of Revelation. And he was actually a prisoner and you know, Bible, you know, historians say that they couldn't kill John. And so they exiled him to this island called Patmos. And here he is in exile. And it said, the way it says, I like the way it says it. It says, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Do you know that's a real place? So he had a heavenly experience while he was in supposed captivity. You know what? Nothing can keep God out of your life. Okay? No person can keep you from what God has for you. Let me just read this. In this vision, this experience that John had, and which, you know, he wrote the book of Revelation, it begins with him seeing Jesus. So I just want to read this and start in verse 12. It says, and I turned, this is John, he says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a gold band. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Wow, Jesus. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, isn't this always the message that heaven brings to us? Don't be afraid. He said, I'm the first and the last. You know who's talking here? This is Jesus. He said, I'm the first and the last. He says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Now get this. and I have the keys of Hades and of death. What Jesus did in the death, burial, and resurrection was 100% enough to crush the devil in your life today. Now, do you like to go to plays? I'm weird, but I like to go to plays. I like to see plays. And how many know that what you see at, you know, from your good seat as you observe this play, you see one thing, but how many know that behind the scenes there's all kinds of stuff going on? So we're so privileged to have the Bible. We're so privileged that God, you know, revealed himself to us in this way, that we actually have a portion of Scripture that pulls back the veil, and we actually see what went on behind the curtain when Jesus, you know, died on the cross and before he was raised from, and when he was raised from the dead. So in Ephesians chapter 1, read or hear with me anyway, says in verse 17, therefore I also, again, there goes Paul. I can tell Paul's a praying man. You know, here we got one letter to the Ephesians and already we've caught him in two prayers. It's okay, it's good to pray. So he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, and that you'd know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That's some big words. The exceeding greatness of his power. Can I say this? This is probably the greatest display of power that has ever been is when Jesus was raised from the dead. So Paul's praying all this, and he's praying that we would grab hold of this and see this exceeding great power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. And so Paul's, what he's saying is, actually, one translation says that this power is the power that's working in us who believe. You know, and this one says toward us who believe. Either way, this power is available to you and me. And so then Paul goes on to describe it. You know, Jesus had died on the cross. You know, he was dead. He's buried. You know, the devil thought he won. But here it talks about this power. It says, which he worked in Christ. The same power that's available to you and me, that's in you and me. It says he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now get this, far above. Can you say far above?
Far above.
All principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know that when you're born again, you are part of the body of Christ. Did you hear me? And it says that Jesus is the head of that body, okay? He's the head. And you know, people get funny thinking sometimes. We all have had it. Some people think, well, if I'm in the body of Christ, I must be the toenail on the baby toe. Can I tell you something? What Paul said here is all the power of the devil is under the feet. How many know the baby toe and the baby toenail are part of the feet? All power of the devil is under your feet. Under your feet. What was his third point? Jesus, what he did in the death, burial, and resurrection was 100% enough to put the devil under your feet. Amen. Pastor Stephen, come on up.
Come on, man. Woo! Happy Easter. You know, Pastor Paul said sermons require three things to be successful. I ain't got three for you. If I had three for you, we would not be concise. That's for sure. Y'all know me. We'd be here until like two, you know? But it's funny, as he was preaching, actually, something in Luke 24, I think it's the first scripture he actually pulled up. Can we pull that back up, Kyle? Was just jumping out to me, man. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Can y'all say risen?
Risen.
See, I think a lot of us are doing Christianity like the original Spice Girls. You know what I'm saying? We kind of have like tombstone faith, where it's like, we'll come and we'll visit once in a while. We'll bring our spices once in a while, but we're going to be worshiping a dead God. We don't have expectation that he's going to like hop out of the door and like angels and stuff are going to be there and my life is about to be transformed. No, we're just visiting a tomb. That ain't it. God's got more than tombstone Spice Girl Christianity. Hello. He is risen. And we are risen. Pastor Paul left off in Ephesians 1. I want us to start off in Ephesians 2. Come on. I got "and you" real big. Y'all ready to read that? "And you were dead in your offenses and sins in which you previously walked." Can you say "previously walked"? Previously is a good word. That's saying like, hey, all that old stuff, like, let's leave it back there. Our walk changes, amen? "We used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, a.k.a. Satan, a.k.a. I'll tell you what, man, delivered eggs, I'm here for it. Christians get weird with stuff, but that one I'm here for. Let's call them delivered eggs, you know what I mean? I love me some delivered eggs. I was like, don't come at my eggs, dude. I love them. I get to eat them like once a year because there's consequences, you know? Okay, we're moving on. Maybe not with the delivered ones, we'll find out. Anyways, let's keep going. Among them, y'all ready? "We too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest." Let's keep going. "But God," come on, let's say that together. "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come," how many of y'all think we live in that age to come?
Yeah.
We're there. We're a part of what he's talking about. "So that in the ages to come, he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." How many of y'all want to know the boundless riches of his grace and kindness? Okay, that's not enough of you. How many of y'all want some of that in your life? Yeah? "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Listen to me. Your life does not have to be this like, and I'm not, hear me, I'm not coming at people who grieve, okay? But what I'm saying is we are not to come in our form of worship to the Most High and treat him like he's 6 feet deep. Hello? He's risen. And some of us are just like, oh, I'm so sad. And then we just like, but then like, and hear me, Carol could tell you, I've been in pits before. Even as a Christian, I've been in pits before. I'm not judging your pit. I'm just saying you, God wants to lift you out of it. As a matter of fact, hold up, he already did. And he seated us with him in the heavenly places far above all that jank. All of it. All of it. No leftovers. All of it. We sang a song this morning in spontaneous worship, like nothing hanging on to me. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Let's not approach his throne once in a while. Let's realize we're seated with him. Hello? We don't go like, oh, I guess it's Sunday. Or up, I guess it's that special Sunday. Or up, I guess it's that or that or that. And listen, I'm glad every single person's here, but I'm telling you, God wants to be with you always. Always. Every day. Always. He didn't seat you next to him so you could dismiss yourself. All right, okay, I'll be back. Be back in a week. I'm going to go do my stuff. No. We're seated with him. We stay there with him. People of the world, spice up your life. Anybody? Ben's got me. You know? Tell you what, if I'm not like making some 90s song reference, I don't know. I don't even know who I am, you know? But real talk, man, like, he's raised us up, so let's let ourselves be raised up and above it. Amen? You don't have to do the rest of your life grieving at an empty tomb. Visiting once in a while. You're raised up. You're free. He's alive, and he actually works today. You see, I think a lot of Christianity is, well, no, we worship a resurrected God, but he doesn't do anything. Is he resurrected then? Or is he just like Weekend at Bernie's or something? Like, I don't know. I don't understand. If he's resurrected, that means he must want to do some things here in the earth. Hello? And if we're raised up, if we're resurrected, if we used to be dead, well, I don't know if I was ever dead. Yes, you were. It said we to all. Well, I was born in the faith, and I've been a Christian ever since. Okay, so you ain't never chased the lust of your flesh? Never? Yeah, you did. And guess what? He died for you. And he loves you. So that stuff can be a previous walk. And we can step into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Be raised with him. Hello? I'll tell you what, from that posture, from that seat, some of our problems look like skyscrapers. Because again, we're down here at the tomb going, oh no. And then we look up and every problem is bigger than what Jesus did for us. He raised us up, man. Skyscrapers look like little Legos. From where we're at. It's like, that ain't nothing. That depression that used to be the biggest thing in the world, I can't even see past it. Well, when you're seated with him, you're looking down on that thing from infinity, and it looks like nada. I'm telling you, your perspective can change. I'm not coming at you if you feel this way. I'm saying God can help you out of it. And I'm telling you that from personal experience. When I embraced Jesus, I was finally at the end of myself, and I said, okay, either I'm going to take my life or I'm going to give it to the one who supposedly gives it. And you know what? Everything changed. Everything changed. This is not a joke. This is not a game. This is not a cute thing to do, coming together like this. Jesus loves you and died for you. You were created for beautiful things. Don't settle pouting at the tomb with less. He wants to show you the riches of his kindness. And if that's registering with your heart right now, I want to lead you in a prayer to receive this. And if you're watching online, this is for you too. But I mean it. If you feel like you've been like just stuck and like none of this stuff makes sense, none of it really registers, but you still bring your spices, you know? You still come and like, I don't even think God's mad at that. I don't think Jesus was like, ha ha, silly you guys, you know? He shows up and he's like, hey, here I am. And I feel like he wants to show up for people here this morning and say, hey, here I am. Here I am. Receive what I did for you. Pastor Paul said what he did. He took upon himself all sin, all shame, all condemnation, everything associated with the curse of the law and the curse that Adam and Eve brought into this world by choosing other than what God had for us. The curse that we chose when we decided to run after our own stuff. He died on a cross so that we could go a different way. We could receive him as our Lord and Savior and enter into our design. If you feel at odds with yourself, you might be outside of God's design. So I want to lead us in a prayer, and we're going to receive what Jesus did for us. Just kind of waiting a moment. Yeah. If anybody here this morning wants to be so bold as to acknowledge receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, listen, every person in this room that has received Jesus as Lord is family. And we're here for you, and we got your back, and we're rallying for you. But if life has been what I described, just less than, and God has been a name on a tomb and not an active part of your life, and if you want it to be more than that, and you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I just want to invite you to stand up. Beautiful. Hey, come on. Oh, yeah. That's good. All right. I see you. You can keep standing. All right. So, fam, y'all have prayed this. I'm not going to have you re-pray it. And if you're not standing, you feel like you should stand, stand up, okay? It's beautiful. And everybody here that maybe has already received Jesus as Lord, I just want you to extend your hands towards these people as a sign of support and faith. We're going to be like praying over these people as they're praying, okay? And those of you standing, I just want you to say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you for your great love for me. I acknowledge my need to be saved and to be led. And so I turn from being my own God. And Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Holy Spirit, come live in me and be real to me. I don't want dead faith. I don't want dead relationship. I want this to be active. I want to know your presence and the depths of your love. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we show some love to the people who had the boldness to stand up? And hey, God bless you, man. We are honored to have you with us. And hey, you know, this raised from the dead stuff, y'all, it's some pretty big news, ain't it? You know? It's like, I know it's like this faith is like 2,000-something years old now, you know? But man, Jesus raising from the dead and raising us up from the dead with him changes everything. It might be worth talking about. Might be worth sharing with this city. Hello? What other news stories are you talking about? You know what I mean? Hey, did you hear about the Oscars? What does that even matter in comparison? I don't even know when the Oscars are. I have no idea. Stephen, that happened 6 months ago. I don't know, dude. You know? But what I do know is Jesus is Lord, and he wants to see this city set ablaze with his fire and his life. Amen? So let's rock this city for Jesus. If you got family gatherings you're going to, let's not hide who he is. I'm not telling you to go in there and be like, hey, you all need to know about the Jesus that I serve. You go in there, so you say, hey, I want to tell you what God's done in my life. I don't want to tiptoe anymore. I want to share with y'all his goodness. And it ain't just on Easter Sunday, it's every day, amen? Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe and maybe share with a friend?
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible. And you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.